Now we're in 2 Samuel chapter 9 and in chapter 10. Eddie's just said to me, "You've got nice chapters this morning, Ian." And I said to him, "Well, funnily, I really struggle with them." So we'll see how we go. You can decide whether we struggled or not. We'll read chapter 9 and just extracts from chapter 10. "And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. The king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodebar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodebar. Now Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come to David. He fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I? Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servant shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants, and said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. And for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. And it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died. That was Nahash. And Hanun his son reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanun the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. And the princes of the children of Ammon said to Hanun their lord, Thinkest thou that David doth honour thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search out the city, and to spy it and overthrow it? Wherefore Hanun took David's servants and shaved off the half of their beards, and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and he sent them away. When they told David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, Tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown, and then return. Verse 7, When David heard it, he sent Joab and all the hosts of his mighty men. And the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array at the entering in of the gate. Verse 17, And when it was told David, he gathered all Israel together and passed over Jordan and came to Helam. And the Syrians set themselves in array against David and fought with him. And the Syrians fled before Israel. And David slew the men of 700 chariots of the Syrians and 40,000 horsemen, and smote Shobach, the captain of the host, who died there. That will do us for reading for a moment. Now I want to spend most of the time in chapter 9 today. You might not be surprised at that. the subject matter that Kevin has put on the syllabus is a seat at the King's table. And that is perhaps the exciting part of these two chapters. Mephibosheth from Lodebar, brought to sit at the King's table. But in the two chapters, I was thinking that there is a gospel here in the two chapters, chapter 9 and chapter 10. There is a man who receives and accepts the gracious kindness of David and enters into all the blessings that that means for him. Whereas when you come into chapter 10, there's a man who rejects the kindness and the gracious offer of David and suffers the consequences of that. And chapter 10 is a chapter about battles and judgment. And so there is a gospel here, and for the young men that are aspiring to think about the gospel, there are some real beautiful things in here about the gospel. And wonder of wonders, here is the outpouring of what David describes as the kindness of God, the grace of God, the outpouring of God's grace and kindness through his servant David. And there are those that accept and there are those that reject. And for those that accept, there are the blessings of the King's table. And for those that reject, there are the judgments of God to be had. And so there is a real gospel here. Let me just say something about chapter 10, and then I'm going to leave that and come back into chapter 9. And there are just three things in chapter 10 that I wanted to mention, and we will simply mention them and leave them. And one was already mentioned by one of our earlier brethren. I can't remember whether it was Ian Lewis or whether it was Johnny Allen last week. It just shows what your memory does to you when you get to 70. But it was one or other of them who spoke about the men that knew David and the men that didn't know David. And the reason why Mephibosheth accepts David's offers of grace and mercy is because he knew David. Knew the kind of man he was. Knew the kind of heart he had. Knew that he was a man after God's own heart. And he knew David. Whereas Hanan, the king of the Ammonites, as he was then, at least in waiting, he didn't know David. He had no idea about David's character and what he was like as a person. And hence, because of that, just listens to the tales that his princes tell him and rejects the offer of David. And it's about their knowledge of the man and what they saw of him and what they knew of him. Interestingly, Hanan's father knew David, Nahash. He showed David some kindness. There is no record in scripture about what that was, unless some of you have got sharper eyes than I have. But I don't think there's record in scripture about what that was. Probably when he was fleeing from Saul, perhaps. But his father knew David and his brother knew David, Shobi. Because when we come later on in the book of 2 Samuel, we discover that he came to show kindness to David at some stage. So there is just something in there. Now, the other thing just to mention about chapter 10 is the wonderful way in which David's ear is caught by the affairs of his servants. And he listens three times over when it was told David, when David heard it, when it was said to David. And the wonder of the chapter is that David hears what is happening to his servants. And of course, you don't need me to apply that in any shape or form. Because like David, we have one who cares for us, whose ear is never heavy that it cannot hear, neither is his arm shortened that it cannot save. And we have one who says to us in our darkest moments, never fear, your prayer is heard. And so the apostle in Philippians 4 says to the saints at Philippi, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to him. And David hears the affairs of his servants. The third thing that I would say about it is that I notice in the chapter David's closeness to the issues. He's not sitting up there in Jerusalem and saying, well, somebody else will look after that. David's closeness to the issues. He sent, when he heard about the servants being mistreated by Hanun, he sent to meet them. Now, I'm not sure whether he actually went or whether he sent somebody else. I've got a feeling he went, you know. But that's only a feeling. For he said to them, stay here in Jericho. Then I come back and be embarrassed in Jerusalem. Stay here in Jericho. And when he hears about it the second time, he sends Joab he sends Joab out after those that had done despite to his servants. And when he hears about it the second time, he goes himself to battle to deal with the men that so mistreated his servants. Now, just the application of that is simple. The closeness of Christ to his people and to their needs. And the way in which he deals with their needs and their issues, and the way in which he supports them in their difficulties and in their times of hardship. And there is seen, and one of the brethren mentioned that to us a few weeks ago, there is seen in this chapter the shepherd heart of David, in that he cares deeply for those that serve him. And in that sense, of course, he is a serious picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's get into chapter 9. I want to talk this morning to I was going to say the folks at the back of the hall, but there are some of them at the front of the hall as well. But I want to talk about the next generation, and I want to try and excite you in terms of the enormity of what God has done for you and what he's provided for you. And I think we lose that sometimes. What are we and where are we? And what has he done for us? You know, there is a sense in which I am third generation Christian. Christianity started in our family with my grandfather and my father, and here I am, third generation. And we have here this morning third generation Christians in that sense. There is my generation here. And others like me. There are my children here, and others like me. And there are grandchildren here. Third generation Christianity. Wonderfully, under the hand of Caron and Judith, we're moving into fourth generation. But I want to excite you this morning about what God has done for you and what God provides for you. And the title of the passage says it all for me. A seat at the king's table. A seat at the king's table. Now, the old brethren used to say that David, that Mephibosheth came and he was lame on both his feet, and he sat at the table and his lame legs were under the tablecloth. I'm not so sure about that, because they wouldn't have sat at a table. They would have reclined at a table. And I think that Mephibosheth's lameness would be well seen when he was reclining at the table, and the grace of David to him was more evident thereby. But be that as it may, what is the story of Mephibosheth? Well, his accident is recorded for us in 2 Samuel 4. You'll remember when his nurse was running in haste from Saul and what was happening there, Mephibosheth is dropped and he's lame on both his feet. And here in chapter 9 of 2 Samuel, he's in David's house, restored to the king's table. In chapter 16, Ziba, the servant who is given responsibility in chapter 9 for looking after all that belonged to Mephibosheth, David restoring to him everything that his father had. And Ziba and his family are charged with caring for that. And in chapter 16, Ziba comes with a tale to David. I don't want to step onto others' territory, but he comes with a tale to David. And David said, Mephibosheth is hard to say when you say it too often. Why is Mephibosheth still in Jerusalem?
Why is he not here with me as I flee from Absalom? Why is Mephibosheth still in Jerusalem? Ziba says, he's there because he's hoping that he'll be able to take everything that belonged to his father. Now that was a story. That was a story. And the trouble was, David fell for the story. And then we come into chapter number 19, when Ziba's plot against Mephibosheth is unveiled, and David meets Mephibosheth. Because when David heard Ziba's story, he gave Ziba and his family everything that belonged to Mephibosheth. And when his plot is unveiled, and Mephibosheth meets David, and David says, "Why were you in Jerusalem?" He says, "You know." And he stayed out of the genuineness of his heart. And David said, "I'll restore everything that belongs to you." Mephibosheth said, "I'm no interested in what belongs to me." He said, "I'm just happy that I'm with you." And oh, wonderful now. Touches your heart. "I'm not interested in everything that belonged to my father. If Ziba has it, let Ziba keep it. Who cares? As long as I have you, I am happy." And then we come to Samuel 21, 2 Samuel 21, and David spares Mephibosheth as one of Saul's sons from the Gibeonites. Now you'll follow that through as we come to the rest of the chapters. Now, chapter 9. There are just some words in it that tell the story for me. And the first thing I want to say to you is that David's treatment of Mephibosheth was on the basis of a covenant that had been made. So David's blessings given to Mephibosheth are on the basis of a covenant made. David and Jonathan had sealed a covenant together way back in 1 Samuel 18 and 1 Samuel 20. They had sealed a covenant together. Jonathan had given David his clothes and his armor, and he had yielded himself to David, and under a covenant between the two, Jonathan said, "I want you to make sure that you show kindness to me." And David said subsequently, and following that in 1 Samuel 20, Jonathan said to David, "Now don't forget the covenant, David. And the covenant is not only about your kindness to me, but the covenant is about the kindness to me and to my seed after me." And so on the basis of a covenant made, the blessings come to Mephibosheth. Now let me say to you today that you're not just here by chance. You're not just here because your mothers and fathers and your grandmothers and grandfathers are here. You're here today on the basis of a covenant that's been made. A covenant that's been made. We celebrated that covenant today. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." And the God of heaven, in his Son Jesus Christ, laid the basis of a covenant that brings to you and to me in our day and generation the very blessings of heaven. And we should, every Sunday that we meet together here, we should remember the cost of that covenant. This is not, "I'll give you my clothes and I'll give you my sword." This is not about a handshake in a desert that seals a covenant. This is about the death of the Son of God and everything that that meant. And on the basis of that covenant, the blessings of God are flowing to you and to me today. And so the blessings are based on a covenant. "This is my body that is given. This is my blood that is shed." And young men and women today understand the cost of the covenant that God made and that Christ ratified in order that you and I might sit in his presence and know his blessing. So what about the outcome of that covenant? Well, there are some words that I just want to pick up. David says, is there anybody left that I can show the kindness of God to? And it's about the kindness that is God. And David wants not only to show his own heart, but through his own heart, he wants to show to Mephibosheth the very kindness that belongs to the heart of God. The grace of God, salvation bringing, has appeared to all men. And we are recipients today of the grace of the God of heaven. The kindness of God shown towards us. And when David heard that there was someone, and he was called Mephibosheth, the word says down there in verse number 5, then David the king sent and fetched him out of the house. Fetched him. Now that word fetched is interesting. I had a look at it in my e-sword. What a wonderful thing e-sword is. You know, touch of a button and you've got all the answers. I had a look at the word fetched, and it is a word that carries the widest of contexts, what David did. It means that he went and he brought him. It means that he brought him and accepted him. It means that he brought him and accepted him and he drew him. It means that he brought him and he accepted him and he enfolded him. And there is a depth and there is a breadth in the word he sent and he fetched. Listen. You were a lost sheep in the desert, and he came and he fetched you. You were a lost sheep in the desert, and he put you on his shoulders, and he brought you back home. And he went and he fetched him. We are accepted in the beloved. We are made nigh, the Lord says to his Father in John 17. These people that are around me, they are yours. Yours. And he went and he fetched him. And he brought him from where? He brought him from a place that was called Lodibar. Lodibar. Now, you'll help me out here, but I think you'll struggle to find it in your atlases and your maps of the Bible. Lodibar. It might be Lodibar. It might be Didibar. But it's called here Lodibar. But what it was, according to its name, was a place where there was no pasture. And I suppose wisdom would say that it was somewhere somewhere up there in the north of Gilead, on the east side of Jordan, in that waste mountainous land on the east side of Jordan. And it was the place where little would grow, and it was the place of no pasture. And David sought for Mephibosheth, and he brought him out of the place of no pasture. Now let me say to you, from 70 years experience, let me say to you, there is no pasture in this world. Picture of the palace in the desert in Mark chapter 6 is a little bit confused, but there's a truth there, that in the palace where the king is, there is plenty, and in the wilderness there is nothing until he's there. And let me just say to you, out of 70 years experience, that there is no pasture for you in the world. He says, as he brings him out of Lodibar, he says on more than one occasion, Mephibosheth, thy master's son shall eat at my table. Now, let me just say to you, you've been brought to the king's table. You've been brought to the king's table. From the place where there was nothing for your soul, you've been brought to the king's table. Now, I was having a look at the expressions, the king's table and so on. The Lord's table. We use that quite a lot. The Lord's table. And it only appears once in the whole of Scripture, at least in the King James Version. It only appears once, the Lord's table, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Now that has nothing to do with what we did this morning. That's the Lord's Supper. What we did this morning. And that expression only appears once in the whole of the New Testament, and that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Are you surprised at that? I was. Only once, each of these expressions, the Lord's Supper and the Lord's table. Now, there are expressions like the Master's table and so on, but the Lord's table, only once. And it's not about the Lord's Supper. What we did this morning is the Lord's Supper, as we've so called it. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Lord's table in 1 Corinthians 10 is in distinction to the table of demons. And it's about where we're feeding on a daily basis. Either at the table of devils or at the Lord's table. There was an old preacher from Grangemouth called Tommy Richardson. And he used to say, don't confuse the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper. He says, you can be at the Lord's table every day of the week. He used to say, you can take the daily record to the Lord's table if you like, but don't dare bring it to the Lord's Supper. Do you know what he meant? The Lord's table. And it's about where we have the opportunity to eat and to feed ourselves. Song of Solomon says, and we could argue about this one, I suppose, as well, but Song of Solomon says, he brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Psalm 78 asks the question, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And Psalm 78 answers that by saying, I'll feed them with the corn of heaven, and they will eat angels' food. Eh? You know that? That when the children of Israel were wandering through the desert and they were picking up the manna, they were picking up angels' food, according to Psalm 78. Psalm 23, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Day by day, there's a table ready. Ezekiel 34, when the shepherds of Israel were refusing to feed the flock, God says, I will feed them in a good pasture. Proverbs 30 says the word, feed me with food convenient. And I want to say to my young brethren and sisters this morning, understand that you've been given a place at the King's table. The King's table. I don't know why we should spend our time taking the tidbits of this world when we can be eating heaven's spiritual food. It's about where our snout is, if you'll allow me to use that expression. We're either living and our snout is among the husks of the world's eating trough, or we're feeding in the Father's house on the fatted calf. Now it's your choice. It's your choice. But where you're getting your food to develop your spiritual maturity and your growth in him is a matter for your choice. But understand this, that the Lord has brought you and given you a place at the King's table. And you want to stay in McDonald's if there was a meal ready for you at the palace, would you? A meal ready at the palace. And you know, what is the food? Well, you know, the Lord is the food. The Lord is the food. We can feed on Christ. Is that not the truth of New Testament? We can feed on Christ. He is the living bread that came down from heaven. And we can feed on Christ. We have the food of the Word. You know, here it's here. Listen, don't get to your retirement age and sorrow about the years that you lost. Don't do that. There's the food of the word. Thy words, Psalm 119, were sweet to my taste, and I did eat them. Jeremiah 15, thy words were found, and I ate them, and they were to my joy. 1 Corinthians, the apostle says, I can only feed you with milk and not with meat. It would be a tragedy if the baby in that pram lived his life eating milk only. There'll be a day when he'll want the steak. There'll be a day. And that's where we should be striving for. Where so many of us sit and we're sucking the bottle of the milk of the word. Now that's good, but there is the meat of the word to be had. And it's food for our souls to grow our spiritual state. Acts chapter 20, the challenge to the elders at the church of Ephesus. Dare I put the challenge to the elders of Holborn? Feed the flock of God over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers. And so, here is the food. And it's yours for the taking. It's yours for the taking. I want you to notice something else about the food and where Mephibosheth was. David said on more than one occasion, he shall eat food at my table continually. Continually. There was always a place at David's table for Mephibosheth. Always a place. Breakfast, lunch, and supper, if that's what they had. He shall eat at my table continually. There is an eternal value to what we have in Christ, in his word and in himself. There is an eternal value to what we have. The word is that gazing into the word by the Spirit of God, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Lord the Spirit. And he is in the process, if we will allow him and take what is on offer to us, he is in the process of moulding us into the image of his Son and will make us like him eternally. And is it so, John Nelson Darby wrote, we shall be like thy Son. Is this the grace which he for us has won? Father of glory, thought beyond all thought, in glory to his own blessed likeness brought. Yet it must be thy love had not its rest. Were thy redeemed not with thee fully blessed? That love that gives not as the world but shares all it possesses with its loved co-heirs. And you have available to you today a seat at the king's table. He says he's going to sit at the king's table like a son. Mephibosheth wasn't just an add-on. He wasn't a film extra, you know. Mephibosheth at the king's table. It wasn't just about, you know. I remember when we were on one of the ships we were on, they asked us if we would like to sit at the captain's table every night. And I declined, for some reason or other. But, you know, I would just have been a wee add-on, you know, to the captain's table. Mephibosheth was not like that. Mephibosheth was at the king's table, and he was as a son at the king's table. Oh, young men and women, understand that you've been made sons of God. And if sons, then heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And you've been given a seat at the king's table. I can't do any more than that. You might get an impression that I'm kind of excited about it. The older I get, the more I realise it. What he's done for me, and where he's put me, and what he's given me. Don't get to this age in your life and look back at the years and say, my, how many of them did I waste? Because you've got a seat at the king's table today. I was thinking, and you might think me a bit fanciful here as I finish, but I was thinking that there's food in fellowship. There's food in the fellowship now. Being with God's people is essential for our growth and development. No? I had a friend who said to me once, I don't need to be in a fellowship to be a good Christian. I'll just be fine outside the fellowship. That doesn't work, you see. The old brethren used to talk, and use an example and say, look at the, we don't have coal fires anymore, but maybe some folks have, but you know, they used to say, look at the coal in the fire. Look at how each part of it is just glowing red and warm. Take one of them out and sit it on the hearth, and in a very short space of time, it'll become black and dull, and its fire will go out. And there is food in the fellowship about being part of and being in God's family and part of the fellowship of his people. And if you're outside the fellowship, then maybe it's time to think about that. Part of the fellowship of God's people. And there's food in the fellowship. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. There is food in the finding. It's what I've used just to let my F's fit. There is food in the finding. And it's about the finding in the word. There is food in that. This is all the food we have. This is it. But it's a feast at the king's table. And there's food in the finding. All scripture is given by God and is profitable for whatever it is you need. It's profitable for. And there's food in the finding. Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures is the command. Whether by personal search, or whether by the listening search, you know. My father used to say to me when I was going to the meetings as a boy, write it down. Write it down. What did he mean by that? Well, he meant by that that it would force me to listen, if I was writing it down. And he meant by that, if you write it down, you'll not forget it easily. And that still stands good. Now, you might want to write it on your iPad, I don't mind, whatever you write it, but write it down, you know. Keep the notes. There's food in the finding. Eh? Food in the finding. It is for your spiritual growth. The ministry meeting is not just another meeting. No meeting is just another meeting. It's about the provision of food for your soul and to help it grow and develop. There is food in the following, you know. There is food in the following. They said to him, where dwellest thou? He said, just you follow me. Just you follow me. And to the disciples, you know, to the disciples, they said to him, Lord, to whom can we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. Thou hast the words of eternal life. So, a seat at the king's table. I've tried to get you excited and interested. Maybe I've failed. I will have failed with some, maybe, but maybe one with others. I don't know. But that's what we have. Like David brought Mephibosheth from Lodibar, the place of no. Just let me say it again to you. Let me say it again to you. You're either going to be feeding among the husks in the world's feeding trough, or you're going to be feeding on the heavenly food that's available at the king's table. Choice for you. It's a choice. May the Lord bless you. We'll pray together. Our Father, we thank thee for this time that we've spent together. We thank thee for the remembrance of thy Son. And we can only begin to say in few words something of what we understand by what it cost him. And we pray that thou wilt help us to appreciate that day by day and in an increasing way. Help us to feed on thy word and help us to understand and appreciate what we have been brought to and where we have been brought to. And help us in our day and generation to seek to live for him. After all that he's done for us, how little it is for us just to be at the table and to feed on him. So we would commend ourselves to thee as we seek thy blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.